Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew talks about a demon cast out of a person. And the demon wanders in waterless places, having nowhere to call its home. But then the demon returns to the place from which it came and finds it swept and in order. And as Jesus says, it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. And Christians, Jesus is not giving us trivia about demons when he says this. Rather, he is showing us the great danger of sin. One sin all by itself is bad enough. That's like a demon dwelling within us. But repeated sins, done over and over again, are far worse. And the longer it is repeated, the harder it will be to stop, and the less we will listen to God. Our gospel reading for today focuses a lot on the death of John the Baptist. Mark is recalling what happened to John in the midst of talking about Jesus. But John is not the only person in the passage. And you could even argue he's not the main person in this passage. Rather, we meet two others who we ought to consider very carefully today, Herod and Herodias, his wife. Herod Antipas was the son of Herod the Great, Herod the Great being the Herod that we meet at Christmas time. But after the death of his father, Herod Antipas was appointed by the Romans to rule over part of his father's kingdom. So even if he wasn't ruling over nearly as large a kingdom as his father had done, he was still a very important and influential man. And Herodias, on the other hand, was now his wife. And I say now because their marriage was controversial. Herod and Herodias both divorced their first spouse in order to marry each other. And in the case of Herodias, she was the one who instigated the divorce. And that was just unheard of in those days. So their marriage not only broke God's law by not having good grounds for doing it, but it also was also breaking God's law because their spouses were still living. And Herodias, in particular, had caused a great sensation. She, after all, was a conniving, bullheaded woman, as we see even in our reading for today. But John the Baptist, for his part, was faithful to his calling. John spoke the truth of God's word clearly and boldly. "It is not lawful for you to have her," he said to Herod's face. And I'm sure he said something similar to Herodias. John did not care that he was talking to the king and to the queen. He did not care that they were both very important politically. John said what needed to be said, because God is no respecter of persons. All stand before him equally, whether high or low, rich or poor, great or small. But being bold often has consequences, and that was certainly true for John. Herod threw him into prison. He did not allow him to go free so that he would not stir up any more trouble, and no doubt as a way to silence him. Now, make no mistake, Christians, Herod and Herodias' sin was very great. But as bad as one sin is or may be, multiple sins are far worse. One sin breaks God's law, yes, but many or repeated sins harden us against God's law. One sin makes us guilty, but many make us deaf. And we see that clearly how it affected Herodias in particular. We're told in verse 19, "And Herodias had a grudge against him, and wanted to put him to death." Her conscience was totally dead. She had lost all sense of right and wrong, and she had totally turned away from God, refusing to admit that what she had done was wrong. So not only was she completely deaf to anything John had to say to her, but she also reacted with anger and with spite instead. "How dare you say that to me," she thought. "Who do you think you are?" And her hardened heart led her to the conclusion that if John wouldn't shut up, she would shut him up forever. Now, Christians, we should take the example of Herodias to heart. She shows us what the end of all of this looks like. If we persist in our sins long enough, then we will become like her, totally deaf to the word of God. But even as we think about Herodias, we should also pay close attention to Herod, because his danger, in a sense, is closer to us. He represents what is for us the more likely temptation. Because Herod's conscience, after all, was not totally dead. Yes, he had thrown John into prison. Yes, he had been angry because of what John said about his marriage. And yes, he had done all of these things. His sins were no less repeated than his wife. But we're told that Herod did not shut John totally out. We hear in verse 20, "Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, yet he heard him gladly." Here then is a man who is caught in the balance. On the one hand, he's unwilling to simply release him. He continues in his sins. He doesn't want to let those things go. But on the other hand, he is listening to what John says, and he even hears him gladly. Herod is a man whose heart was not yet hardened to the same degree as his wife. Herod was the kind of man who would say that what God says is true, but he's unwilling to put it into practice. Herod is the kind of man who would say, "It was a good sermon," but he forgets it even before he walks out the door. Herod is the kind of man who would maybe even be willing to ask for forgiveness for what he's done, but as soon as he's done that, he goes right back to it. He's all words and no action. And being caught in the balance like this means that he's constantly in danger. Which way will he finally go? And so on his birthday, Herod throws a great feast, and he invites all the leading men of his kingdom. And no doubt it was a very grand thing. I'm sure there was all kind of drinking and eating and laughter, a very good time indeed. But in the midst of all of it, another kind of entertainment comes. Herodias' daughter comes in and dances. I'm not going to say any more about her dance than Mark does. It's enough to say that it pleased a male audience. But Herod, blinded by his feelings, rashly promises to give her whatever she asks for. And her vicious request for John's head, prompted by her vindictive mother, catches him off guard. Herod had given in to one more sin to his ruin, and now the critical moment had come. He would be forced to make a choice. Would he listen to the world, or would he listen to God? And his constant failure to listen to God's word, even if he heard it gladly, had finally led him here. Would he let John go, as would be the right thing to do? Or would he try to save face? But honestly, Christians, it's no surprise that Herod chooses the world. A leaning tree, after all, really only falls one way. It's only with great effort that you can get it to fall the other way. And that was more effort than he was willing to give. So instead of turning away from his sins, Herod fell one more time and finally turned away from God. So let us take heed, Christians. Sin is always a deadly thing, but repeated sins are worse still. And the more we persist in them, the harder our conscience will become, until we will finally have to answer the same question as Herod. Will it be God, or will it be the world? And how can we say that we're going to choose God in that day, when we have chosen sin so many times before? Let us therefore, Christians, turn to Jesus today. Not tomorrow, not the day after, but today, while it is still today. Because Jesus was born to save us. Jesus has come to set us free from the power of sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away even the most stubborn, persistent sin. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, so that who comes to give us a new heart, a heart which listens, a heart that wants to follow after God. The Holy Spirit opens our ears to hear the word, so that in God alone, we not only find forgiveness for our sins, but we also find the strength to stand in the day of temptation. Christians, Jesus calls you to himself today. So let us go and follow him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to break the power of sin, forgive us and sweep our hearts clean, so that we may not return to our sins, but follow you in newness of life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.